knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot, well, look, I love to open the door for people. I love to, you know, go last, but this March, and so that means I'm going first.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Tradition.
Now, look, this is corrective.
Okay.
It's a little bit corrective from my last bright spot.
All right.
I think I was a little too positive about Survivor.
Oh, boy.
I think.
Wow.
I think that I was a little too down on myself for being down on Survivor.
Right.
Because, like, okay, there's this guy.
This is a real roller coaster of emotions you're on here.
There's this guy on the season, Christian, who he was on season 37. And he was a fan favorite. He's great.
Sure.
He's a robot engineer nerd, and he made friends with Johnny Wrestling. No, Johnny Wrestling is Johnny Gargano. Johnny Nitro, Johnny Drip Drip is John Morrison.
Okay.
It was fun. The two of them made friends. Anyway, he's Christian, the robot nerd, is back on this season.
Yeah.
And he pooped his pants, and they made a big deal out of it.
Sure.
Now, here's my problem with this.
Yeah.
I think they're all probably pooping their pants quite a bit.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
who made a big deal out of it? The producers?
The show, yeah.
But not the people in, not the tribe.
Oh, no, they were laughing at him a bit.
Yeah, but, you know, you would laugh. You would expect to be laughed at a little bit.
I would assume maybe the first instance of a poo.
Oh, is he pooping his pants a lot now?
No, it just happened this one time show.
Strange circumstances. You shit yourself. That's fine.
Your diet is fundamentally changing.
Absolutely.
You're exerting yourself more. Anyway, I think that the show went out of its way to quirk it up with him as like, oh, I shit my pants. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it made me like him as a character less.
Yeah.
And that was the producer's fault.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so that is why I'm taking a little bit of a
I accept no judgment for that. The number of people I've seen poop their pants for way less good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Way less good reasons.
Yeah.
No, and I didn't judge them.
Mm-mm.
And they were in the alley in Chicago.
Yeah, and if it happens every season, like, why are we dwelling on it in season 50? Come on, these people are shitting.
Come on, yeah.
Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is a follow-up on my bright spot a couple weeks ago, the World Baseball Classic.
Classic.
In full flow, fantastic.
You loving that crack?
Going great. Oh, man, Schwarber, my favorite baseball player, hit it, just cracked it out of the park.
What about Shohei?
Well, Shohei's playing for Japan right now, so you see how it works. Right,
but he's still your favorite baseball player.
Well, obviously, but that's like saying God's my favorite God, you know? Like, there's supposed to only be one, ostensibly.
So Shohei is your favorite,
yes.
But temporarily you have to act like he's not because he's playing for a different country.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
That's fine.
And you know me, I'm as jingoistic as they come.
Yeah, you love America.
I love him, but... No, the best part of the World Baseball Classic, as I told you, was the number of people who should not be playing professional baseball with professional baseball players.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is astonishing because Aaron Judge is on the Team USA. He is 6'8". He weighs like 280 pounds, and it's all muscle. Like, he looks fucking insane next to some of these guys who are like 5'4". Who are the biggest guy in their hometown. Like, it is crazy to see these two back-to-back. It's fantastic.
What position does he play?
Judge? He's a outfielder.
That big? That seems...
Oh, he's a... You know how linebackers used to be, like, the faster big guys?
Mm-hmm.
But now you see defensive linemen weigh 350 pounds and run, like, 4'4"?
Yeah.
He's like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Been a while since I've watched baseball.
God,
I just
he's
picture
huge.
Them as much tinier dudes.
No, he's the home run non-steroids version Although when you look at him, you're like, people have to do steroids to compete with that. If that's from being born, then in order to compete with that, I have to do steroids. So in a way, he kind of validates the steroid era.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So who's your pick for the classic?
Well, I mean, the last few games Japan has played, they look shaky. And they won last year in a fantastic close.
You don't think Ohtani can just carry them on his back?
I mean, that's the question, because Team USA is stacked. They have the best team by a margin that is hard to quantify. It's crazy how good their team is.
So I'm hearing basically that it's going to come down to US and Japan.
Probably.
To you. That's your prediction.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the way it's come down the last time in
the last 50 years.
Basically, there are two nations that fucking love baseball. And they're the two that wind up winning the World Baseball Classic. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's a good time.
It is.
I hope that your two favorite players have to go up against each other.
Ah, me too.
And you get torn.
Oh, it'll be great.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
All right.
And, you know, if you look at the calendar,
yeah.
If you look at the clock,
sure.
You might notice that something has happened, and that is March 7th has come and gone.
Yes.
And it appears that InfoWars is still in business.
How about that?
And hasn't gone under like Alex predicted.
Wild.
But it's still a weekend when we're recording this.
That's true.
Who knows what devilry lies in the weekend?
Maybe they just couldn't get enough people to work on the weekend. They got to wait till Monday.
Right.
That happens.
So I don't want to overcommit to something like, Alex is gone.
Sure.
He's out of business. So I thought, hey, let's just go way off the beaten path.
All right.
And we're going to do something different.
All right.
Today. But first, before we get to that, let's take a moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, a sudsy soliloquy. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Taliban Tim. You have 7 days. Your dog peed on my bed. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Andrew Beefcake. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technical credit in the mix, Jordan.
Ooh.
So thank you so much to Welcome to World Benjamin. So sorry, you'll soon know Alex's voice as well as your own parents. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we're going to talk about Alex being on another show here in a moment.
All right.
But before I reveal what that is,
okay.
He said something that I think is a perfect summation of his career that I'm going to present as an out-of-context drop.
Okay.
No, that sounds like bull, because it is.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's I think
it sounds like it because
1,100 episodes in, I can say there's nothing quicker to help you understand this dumb fuck than that.
Yeah, if it sounds like bull, that's because it is. Done.
So Alex was just on Duncan Trussell's podcast, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
Duncan Trussell?
Yeah.
Same Duncan Trussell?
New and improved.
The one I know?
Yeah. I mean, physically, I mean, I guess his cells have reproduced since the last time you thought about him or saw him.
Every 7 years.
The boat of Theseus has changed all of his blood. Yeah.
Maybe it's how it works.
And maybe he was never real to begin with because, he could be a hologram or
phantom.
That
sounds like something he would say, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I used to love Duncan Trussell.
Yeah, that was fun.
Back in a time when Joe Rogan's podcast really was just drunk or stoned comedians telling mostly untrue stories, Duncan was the one who seemed the coolest to me.
Mm.
Rogan himself was a jock, and he seemed like the type who was prone to violence. Joey Diaz was a creepy old dude who clearly didn't respect other people's boundaries, but could tell an amazing, mostly untrue story.
God, he could tell a great story.
Bert Kreischer was an aging alcoholic who seemed like he'd be fun to party with for a night, and he could tell an amazing, mostly untrue story really well. But past a day, I don't know if I want to be around that.
No, too many times to see a man take a shirt off.
Ari Shaffir seemed like a bully, and for the most part, Tom Segura seemed fine, but whatever.
Sure.
But Duncan was different. I'm not sure I've ever seen him do a set of stand-up, and if I have, I certainly don't remember his material.
Mm.
I don't think I've heard him say anything that's particularly funny. And honestly, most of his stories about drugs are the kind of stories that could be true and untrue at the same time. Like a Hunter S. Thompson piece.
Sure.
You're just like, I get you're accurately describing the feeling of being high.
Yeah.
But the details that you're using are heightened and not true.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't actually sure what it was that Duncan did that was so great, it was clear to me that he felt special. And maybe he was. It seemed like he could be one of Rogan's friends who'd be able to transcend the downfall of his orbit. And it was looking good for a little bit. But the other day, Duncan released an episode of his podcast, The Duncan Trussell Family Hour, with his guest being Alex Jones.
Great.
Joe won't have Alex on at this point, so it's pretty hard not to see this as Duncan picking up scraps, which on its own is pretty sad. It's a bad look. Not like having followed Duncan's career super closely for the past years, this is not a marquee moment.
You know, I here's the thing about Duncan. Here's the thing about Duncan. From time to time, he can trick you into wanting to make excuses for his inability to think clearly on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So my instinct, my initial reaction to this is like, what is it that Duncan is missing that allowed him to do this? But he wasn't missing anything. That's bullshit.
No.
That's an illusion.
Yeah.
Duncan knows what he's doing.
The premise that you've introduced to your understanding of Duncan is incorrect.
It is. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know. This was a... Look. There's a lot, a lot of times I can listen to a whole Patrick Bet David interview.
Yeah.
I didn't make it through this.
I believe you. I can't imagine listening to, first off, I can't imagine listening to Alex talk to Duncan Trussell, but I really can't imagine listening to Duncan go off on his bullshit while Alex is trying to like tag team with him.
Yeah. There was a part of it that like, I still thought Duncan, he seems fun.
Sure.
And that's part of the problem.
Right.
But like, it's so boring. It just got so fucking boring, the two of them talking, that I had to turn it off like with a little bit left in the episode. So I don't know if there's a big reveal at the end, but didn't make it. Anyway, here's where we start things off.
All right.
Welcome, friends. Before we dive into this important, perhaps the most important episode of the DTFH, I've got to go through my dates. Won't you come see me in person? You can find me in Bloomington, Indiana.
I wonder if Duncan even knew which episode he was recording this plug for when he called it the most important episode on his show. If he did, that's pretty funny. But I'll say that I kind of like hearing someone plug their live dates at the beginning of a show. Like, that feels like what podcasting is for comedians. Trying to drive traffic to your live dates.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
It's the classic traditional podcasting that we came of age with.
It was shocking to hear, I guess, in 2026, because the beginning of so many podcasts are just like long strings of ads.
Yeah. Yep. And then the middle is whenever they do an ad and they announce their tour dates and then do another ad and then...
So Duncan, he's hyping up this episode before it gets going, and I think it's something, I don't get his vibe, man.
And now, my friends, I continue a string of powerful, historic episodes of the DTFH. Just in the last few episodes, we have had Donnie Rothschild, scion to the Rothschild Empire, Abby Martin, who is single-handedly potentially going to take down the military-industrial complex.
And good luck!
Now, the icing on the cake in this trinity of glory, which is what I'm calling the last three episodes, host of InfoWars, host of the Alex Jones Show, the man who's kept his ear on the satanic railroad track that the Illuminati rides their little demonic choo-choo train back and forth from hell on, Alex Jones.
Duncan really can only give this introduction if his awareness of Alex's surface level, which is the ultimate irony about the character that he plays himself.
Yeah.
That is this, like, oh, I gotta get to the bottom of everything. I see through the bullshit.
Yep.
You're giving, like, a cookie-cutter, mainstream media-ass version of Alex.
Yep.
You believe is real. He's supposed to be a psychonaut who sees through the illusions of the world. He's not just someone who takes a headline at face value. He's supposed to be deeper. But any engagement with Alex's career and what he does wouldn't allow you to look at him as a guy who's kept his ear to the Satanic Railroad, or whatever the fuck he's saying. That impression of Alex is really only possible if you take in Alex's marketing and accept that without much further questioning. I don't know enough about Abby Martin to speak on her too much, but I'm pretty sure she's not going to take down the military-industrial complex, and Donnie Rothschild is a fake character that Trussell has on his show who pretends to be a part of the Rothschild family.
Mm.
And this is where it gets kind of murky, and we need to view this with a little bit of caution because of humor. Duncan's presenting this as a powerful trio of guests and giving equal weight to Abby Martin, who's meant to be taken as a serious journalist, and Donnie Rothschild, who's a joke character. Including Alex in that trio makes a strange broth, and I think it's important to be clear up front that Duncan's still doing a show that aims to be funny, and that has to weigh in the evaluations of the things they say.
Yeah.
I still think, you know, I can tell that he's not just putting on Alex for humor.
Yeah.
But that trio is strange.
Yeah. I mean, it suggests, like, and his, the problem I have is that preamble bullshit he uses for everything, you know, that, like, he searches for the Illuminati of blah. He says that about anybody doing anything all the time. This guy, it's always about piercing through the veil and shit like that. And then to even suggest that somebody would single-handedly take down the military-industrial complex is, like, that has to be funny.
But I could see that as being an exaggeration or an embellishment of something he truly believes about her as a journalist.
Right. That's the question.
Yeah.
Is he mocking her?
He can't be. But
in order to make sense. In order for the whole thing to make sense, yes. She is actually the one who is taking the blow here.
Either he has to be making fun of her or he's taking Alex seriously.
Yes, exactly.
And that is like,
who is in trouble here?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So Alex, he's always wanted, or Duncan's always wanted to have Alex on.
I believe that.
Alex Jones, I got to tell you right away, man, you are in my top three dream guests for this podcast. I've wanted you on this show for so long, and thank you for.
Well, I wanted to come on. I'm a huge fan of yours forever.
Thank you.
Shut the fuck up.
15 years ago with Joe.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, listen. You know, that's where I first met you, was through Joe, not in the flesh, but when I got to be friends with Joe, we go over to his house, get stoned, and we had like old school InfoWars, Alex Jones stuff on VHS, and we'd sit and watch it and just freak the fuck out.
You know, I've known Joe since, like, I met him in 98. We got to know him as friends since 99, but he called in on 9/11. When I was saying they blew up the towers, he was like, you're going too far. And I'm not criticizing he said that, because it was the day of, but I'm always proud that Joe called in on 9/11.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Wow.
So if Duncan has had Alex as a dream guest forever and it's only happening now in 2026, you should read a little bit into that.
Mm.
Alex has been on Joe's other friends' shows in the past, so this should have been a pretty simple booking if he ever really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sake, Daria emailed us.
Yep.
About Alex.
Alex would like to come on your show.
That was in 2018.
Yep. You better believe it.
Duncan could have had him on at any time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, God, this is, I'm a little taken aback. I'm on my back heels.
Sure.
I'm on my back heels here because I'm confused. I'm confused as to how this is going to go. I don't see these two jiving together. I see no possible way that either of them can like, yes and each other. Duncan is Duncan and Alex is Alex. How?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Well, it's you know, it's like, you know, they say chocolate and peanut butter is two flavors
right.
that are meant to go together.
Right.
Peanut butter and piss.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not they don't go well together, but they both serve a function. If you need to evacuate your urinary tract, this is the way to go.
I suppose if you are in the post-apocalypse and you come upon some peanut butter, sure, somebody peed on it, but that's still peanut butter, you know? And urine is...
I completely fucked up my metaphor. I don't know how to make it. But I'm high as Duncan Trussell right now, so you have to forgive my mind.
They
do work together.
Yeah.
Somehow they meld, but it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not entertaining. Their energies are off.
Yeah.
But Duncan clearly is like really into Alex.
Yeah.
And Alex.
Yeah.
Is fine with him.
I think it's fascinating on two levels. First. Clearly, this is Duncan living out something from his past that he hasn't been able to get out of his head.
Yeah, because when he and Joe used to get high and watch VHS tapes of Alex pretending to be a revolutionary, they were inspired by that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is the guy that when he sees 1998 Alex.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he thinks he is talking to, which of course means that he has no idea what Alex's show has been for what? 20 years?
He's just bought the hype and whatever bullshit maybe Rogan's told him and like kept this idea of that 98 Alex in his head.
Yep.
And that's kind of sad.
And then the second thing is, if Alex is coming on his show now, that means that Alex thinks now that he is going to be welcomed in a more ideological manner by Duncan than he perhaps would have 5 or 6 years ago.
And he doesn't think he has the ability to get on like other things.
Sure.
This is the ceiling.
This is available.
Yeah. So Duncan starts off the interview, and I think Alex gets weirdly defensive about something.
I wonder if you could shed a little light on how you got on this path. Because, you know, I was doing some research on you, saw you were your dad's was a dentist. You're a football player, and I'm trying to picture, and you and I, we're the same age. So we have the same sort of memories as far as global events go and stuff. I'm thinking back when I was in high school, and, you know, you meet somebody, they derail you, they introduce you to music or whatever. Who introduced you? Who is the first person who started showing you that maybe things aren't exactly the way the news makes them seem?
Well, I don't know where you heard I was a football player. I did play football until I was like a sophomore, and I was terrible, so... I was good enough to be on the team and get run over and get bones broken. So
you were a football player, man. Yeah. So, and you could see it. You're like, you could see it to this day. Like, you've got that athletic thing going on.
I was good enough to make the team and get run over. It was,
okay.
I was like, I can't believe I'm on this team. I don't mind getting hurt for a reason, but I'm actually wimped out. So
okay. Well, but where did
they put me on varsity when I was like a junior? I was being run over by huge black dudes, and I was like, I've had enough of this.
Fuck that.
So I'm actually a huge pussy.
So, but how did it
happen? I don't know where it got in the lore that I played football. I did. It was.
It's not a constant thing, but Alex does talk about playing football a bunch on his show. And he's even talked about a football coach that he had who was like into the New World Order stuff.
Yeah.
That he remembers back. He was like, oh, my favorite teacher.
Oh, my God.
Alex is strangely defensive. And I think it's because of nerds versus jocks.
I agree. I think that's exactly what he's doing right now.
I think he thinks that if he admits to being a football player, he is Duncan's enemy.
Yep.
In a 80s movie.
100%. That is, it feels his psychopathy like triangulating. Oh, no. I need to be not the physical imposing Alex to Duncan. Otherwise, that's going to adjust our dynamic.
I can't be threatening to this dork.
Because he is a smaller fella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you hear like a lot of breathing, that's Alex.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. There's an unsettling heavy breathing that Alex does throughout this. So they, you know, I think Duncan's question is an interesting one. Like,
sure.
Where you can have a friendship that sets you on a course.
I wonder if we should be doing interviews on behalf of Alex, because you're not going to get a real answer from Alex. Like, we could give a more accurate answer.
I think it would be fascinating if someone could trick Alex into doing an interview and then ask us the same questions.
Yes.
And then air them back to back.
Yes. That would be interesting.
Yeah. But the question is, I think if Alex were to actually answer it, interesting, like some friend that you had who opened your mind.
Totally.
But instead, Alex is just kind of the standard stuff.
Yeah.
Family was in intelligence, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I grew up in Rockwall, a suburb of Dallas. And my dad was a dentist, and my mom had like a degree in history, but was a homemaker. But I've told this story before, but maybe you didn't know it. People always go, oh my God, he's a spy. No, I mean, I had my mom's brother was in Iran-Contra, was Army Special Operations. And then I had some other family out of World War II that had done stuff in World War II. And they were always talking bad about the government and the plan for world government and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So it was kind of background noise just growing up.
Wow.
Hearing about this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that kind of primed me. I didn't really have an interest in politics until we moved out here when I was about a junior in high school. And
yeah.
My dad sold his dental offices. So we moved down to Austin. And you know, Waco happened right after that. And then I was just watching the news. All this stuff was happening.
Can I stop you on Waco, please?
No.
This is already a lie. Because we know that by the time Alex was a junior in high school, he'd already been a Satanist for a brief stretch. And he was turned on to the New World Order from reading None Dare Call It Conspiracy when he was 12. Plus, God gave Alex a huge download that told him his future as a child, and he was crafted in the womb as a weapon against the devil. So this whole I didn't have an interest in politics until I was 17 shit is dumb.
Yeah.
And Duncan's just gobbling it all up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I suppose this is something that most people don't think of, which is the idea that when I am interviewing this person, they are giving me completely different answers than when they're talking to one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that boggles my mind. How many people don't realize that when you're not one of his group,
mm-mm,
so you don't count to him. You're just an outsider. When he goes back to
best a conduit to whoever listens to your show.
Exactly.
You are an infection point,
right,
to me, as opposed to someone who I actually am taking seriously.
Right. Like you would. Assume if you were seeing a person who is Alex looks like a human being, you would be like, well, at least the answers would be similar, mm-hmm, from one place to another. Sure, there's little flourishes. Sure, there's little differences. But the idea of like, oh, well, this guy is going to tell me this, but and then he's going to go to the next room and say that he was told it by God.
Yeah, no one has perfect consistency, but
right,
like overarching thematic lying,
yeah,
is... It's a telltale sign.
Yeah, and that is the second part. He is not telling you the truth, even though you might feel like, oh, this is the truth, and he doesn't tell the truth on his other show, mm-hmm, right? Because that's the crazy one. This is whenever he's talking to the reasonable person.
Here's a twist.
Yeah?
Both not true.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. None of it's true.
It's not like one has to be true.
Nope.
They can both be lies.
They can both be lies.
He's lying to you and lying about God.
He's just a liar.
Yep. So I was interested, though, that Duncan is like, hey, man, what about that Waco? Let's talk Waco.
Let's talk Waco.
I was interested in, like, what is his question going to be? We're so early in the interview.
Can I stop you on Waco, please? Because I don't know. Like, this is something that occurred to me, and it's really crazy. You were at Waco with Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks went up there to film some stuff. And Timothy McVeigh. You, Timothy McVeigh, Bill Hicks, and obviously Koresh were at Waco at the same time. Now, you're the only survivor of those four. You know, they're Timothy McVeigh, executed Bill Hicks, pancreatic cancer. But I just think about, wow, how come someone hasn't just made a movie about those days when people were coming up there to see this horror that was happening, to see this thing that was probably confirming for you all that background noise that you were hearing.
Well, sure. I mean, just to be clear, I had just gotten out of high school.
Yeah.
And so I was here in Austin, and I did go up there and talk about it, but I hadn't even gotten in media yet. So I technically, you know, was there right after it happened, and not right when it blew up, but like the days after.
Yeah.
And so it was bizarre that was going on. And then I met Kevin Booth, who I met Joe Rogan through, a comedy producer, and he'd been Bill Hicks's producer.
Ah.
And so that's where that crazy rumor started that I'm Bill Hicks. Which is hilarious.
Which is a huge compliment. And yeah. And I'll tell you, on one...
I don't think I'm going to look much like him, though.
I know. One late night, I went down that rabbit hole. Yeah. I'm looking at pictures of you and Bill Hicks and, you know, because you are funny. I mean, that's one of the things that's really interesting about you. You're kind of like a gonzo journalist. You're some kind of, like, combination of, like, oh, God, Hunter S. Thompson. You've got some Hunter S. Thompson in you, but you're a journalist. You're a journalist. You're a hard worker, too. I can't imagine what your schedule's like.
This is the Duncan Trussell difference. This is why he's good at this shit, because he's a real idiot, but he seems relatable and fun.
Yeah.
There's so many documentaries that have been made about Waco and the aftermath. And Alex's producer, Mike Hansen, even shot a bunch of stuff about Alex getting involved with helping rebuild the church.
Yeah.
But there might not be a documentary that focuses on the fact that Alex Jones, Timothy McVeigh, David Koresh, and Bill Hicks were all there at the same point.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's kind of a crazy piece of trivia to think of, particularly if you're stoned, but I'm not sure if it means anything. And that's where Duncan Trussell shines.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, but whoa.
Not sure it means anything, but also it blows my mind is what Duncan Trussell is here for.
He's so intensely likable and has such a fun vibe that you start to evaluate the stuff he's saying with a diminished expectation.
Yep.
It's the soft bigotry of diminished expectations.
I told you.
Because you don't have the same demand that a psychonaut like him, who's done every drug imaginable, be able to keep his thoughts organized. You just enter it with a, like, oh, look at this. You might as well be a fucking Muppet.
It is bothersome to me just how much you have revealed that I think he's a fucking Muppet.
Yes. The game that Duncan plays is one of selective curiosity, and I don't really fault it too much, but also I think it needs to be understood for what it is. He's so curious, like a little puppy, about things that are fun for him to think about, like whether or not Alex is Bill Hicks, or if four people being at Waco is suspicious. But he's not really all that curious about other stuff that's inconvenient or not fun, like whether or not Alex is a gonzo journalist.
Mm.
If you question whether Alex is Bill Hicks or if those four people being at Waco means anything, you get nowhere. It's masturbatory questioning and curiosity, which is fine to engage in. It's fun. It's what people do. It's kind of socializing, and a lot of creative shit pops out of that kind of mental play.
Yep.
So I understand why people do it. I don't think it's wrong.
Nope.
Conversely, if you question the premise of whether or not Alex is a gonzo journalist, that isn't a question that goes nowhere. He has a long track record that we've been exploring for years, and it doesn't hold up. If Duncan began to question his faith in the illusion of Alex, it would be threatening to his sense of fun, because what if he learns, like, something about him being a malevolent racist?
Yeah.
What does it mean, like, about how important Alex was in shaping his conspiracy brain once he learns that new piece of information? What does it mean about Joe Rogan's decades-long friendship with him when he realizes Alex is full of shit?
Yep.
He's not curious about that. He's curious about fun stuff.
Yep.
Even scary stuff is fun, like a horror movie, like how there's demons that walk among us.
Yeah.
That's fun still.
Yeah, it is. Another example of how what I've learned over our years is how everybody either wants to believe the bullshit or requires belief in the bullshit to make their money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, Media Matters requires belief in the bullshit to make their money off of him. He requires his bullshit to make the money off of him. But Duncan Trussell, it's more fun to believe that there is a Hunter S. Thompson out there doing Alex Jones shit. He doesn't need it.
And I don't know if I have this clip even or not, but at one point he even is saying it's more fun to believe like that people at Bohemian Grove are doing satanic
absolutely.
Rituals.
Absolutely.
There's a desire that people have. And I honestly think a lot of that is because we want to feel like we're living in a fictional story.
Yep.
And we have archetypes from media that we grew up liking that are much more fun to project onto things than like, oh, no, it's just some asshole who wants to make a couple more dollars.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it is not hard to understand why people don't, like, look directly at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's no fun when, like, we look directly at it. That's we make our fun out of it. But, like, to suddenly reveal that guy that you have spent 25, 30 years with, that you got high and read and listened and read and was like, oh, is he Bill Hooks? To just be a racist propagandist.
And take it even a step further. The only reason you even really have a career is because of your mutual friend, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he has supported this guy. How threatening is that to your identity? You used to get high and watch this guy's tapes with the guy who is now the most famous podcaster in the world, who has a bunch of fucking weirdo billionaires on and probably swung the last election.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a different version of the very same Boys Club network that protects abusers in all forms and fashion. It's that same thing of like, well, sure, maybe I know he was an abuser, but my job relies on him. So if I just look over here, then maybe I don't know that he's an abuser.
Yeah.
You know?
This is looking the other way, but it feels a little bit more fun because it has like psychedelics and,
yeah.
And sort of, ooh, magic spells.
But that's how we know, that's where he's the most dangerous, is whenever he's taken out of his Nazi world and allowed to pretend to be with Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I would agree. So Duncan asks Alex about Waco.
Yeah.
And I think that I would love to hear more about it, but instead Alex just talks about his own career on Public Access.
Great. But tell me about those days. You were up there in Waco witnessing the smoldering ruins of this, like, home where I don't know how many kids were incinerated by Janet Reno. What was that
well,
like?
Well, I had just got out of high school, and Access TV started in Austin and New York.
Yeah.
They debate where it started first, like 40 or 45, whenever it was, a long time ago. And so there were all these activists that were doing their own things and shooting interviews and stuff. And I was going down there right out of high school, right as it happened, wanting to be involved. And he said, well, just get in this van with us. We're going up there.
Fuck.
And we're talking to survivors, the few they just let out of jail. And we're going out to the site, and it's still black. And they're like going, look, they say they didn't use CS tear gas, but here's the illegal canister. And
Jesus.
Wesley Clark, the former attorney general, you know, under famous presidents, is showing up. And it's like this murder scene.
Yeah.
And they're going, yeah, the Delta Force was over here. And I'm like, 18 years old, hearing all this, and it was all, so people asked how I got involved. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
It wasn't watching a Marvel comic movie. It wasn't some fantasy thing.
Right.
To me, I didn't understand any of it. I was just, I wanted to get into media. I was right out of high school, and I went to some community college and stuff, but they were, after that, but it was like, they were teaching me like 30-year-old stuff from RTF, radio, right. Television, film. So everybody said, go do an Access show. And so I had right out of high school by 93, started taking the classes by 94, gotten on air. And we're still trying to find those original tapes. We have tapes back to 95. But back then, it was like a show once a month. So it was literally just me, a young kid, trying to figure out, you know, and kind of then everybody said, oh, this guy's a great liberal because I was against the police, you know, the military burning down a
right.
church, and I was anti-war.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got in with the cool libertarian liberals, which really don't really exist much anymore.
Right.
Because they're Nazis!
They were anti-war. They were all homeopathic, vitamins,
yeah,
you know, anti-vaccine.
Sure.
And so I resonated with that whole group in Austin, which, quite frankly, I look back on it was a bunch of basically like hippies.
Right, that's it.
But a lot of them had like businesses or were doctors or were
yeah.
city council members, but they were
so not really hippies.
Right.
Like the old school liberals.
Yeah, so not really hippies.
Rich people.
Yeah.
Yuppies.
Sure.
Yeah.
But maybe who weren't uptight.
Yeah, who let you get high in their backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people who are uptight kind of suck. That's what Duncan knows.
That is true.
So I thought that, I mean, I think that question reveals a little bit about how Alex felt early in his career that is close to around Waco, but it doesn't give us much insight into what it was like to be at Waco.
No.
And so I think that's a good sign that, like, okay, this is going to be about yourself. You're going to just take an interesting question and
yeah.
make it personal.
Yeah, it would be, like, but listen. If there were cool stories about him being at Waco, he would tell those cool stories.
There probably aren't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If he's not telling a cool story, he's not even bothering to make up a cool story about what would be objectively a cool thing, at least in 2026, to be like, I was there. Here was the feeling. Here was the smell. We went to dinner afterwards. There was a coffee place. There was all this stuff that you could feel the smoke in your nostrils at the coffee place. You know,
no,
that kind
of
shit.
He's complaining about how community college RTF education isn't up to date enough.
He's talking about community college and not Waco. So he doesn't have any cool stories about Waco.
I would think not.
Yeah.
But it veered into complaining about the left and liberals.
Oh, the left.
Oh, they're the worst.
Ugh.
But back then, liberals were pretty cool, actually.
That's something that we've all witnessed is this bizarre mutation of liberals into somehow they're now kind of into war. They like.
Well, liberals were always the guys that knew about esoteric and hallucinogens and war, and they could also shoot a gun, and they were fun, and they were like intellectuals.
Right.
And then it became like cult member bots to just.
Right.
Nuke Russia. You know,
right.
Cut kids' dicks off.
Right. It was one of the strangest things. And, you know, I think that What probably
almost fictional
is just the evolution of the machine that you have like been so talented at outlining that it figured out a way to not resist,
but to co-opt its main opposition.
That's it, and it's the most sinister fucking thing.
Well, Joe always talks about it because he saw the documentary I made. When they really got the left was WTO 1999. You have 100,000 liberals out saying we're not handing over our sovereignty to the World Trade Organization, U.S. sovereignty. They were out there, and so they hired Antifa to attack the police.
Right.
So they would have an excuse.
Antifa.
Right.
The rest of the peaceful people.
And what?
That's where. Yeah. And then the left kind of the NGOs kind of capitulated, and then you know, the liberal organizations just bowed down. It's, like the ACLU used to defend the KKK marching.
Right.
I hate the KKK, but I agree with defending them. Now they don't.
Right.
And that was the start of that.
Right.
Right.
Nailed it.
So this clip was the first point where I didn't believe that Duncan meant what he was saying. Up to this point, I could believe that he was deluded and just didn't really know what Alex's show was actually like, but this is impossible to come off as sincere.
Yeah.
It's great to complain that there's a strain of liberal that's lost their connection to what liberal values really mean, and I have zero problem with making fun of them. However, to be in the world that we're in, with the GOP becoming what it is, to be sitting across the table from a guy who'd cry on air about how much he loved Trump, and to primarily be focused on how liberals are all bots now, is just fucking embarrassing. One of the problems that we run into is that Alex is supposed to transcend the left-right paradigm, and a big part of that marketing campaign is blurring the lines of what left and right even mean. One of the pillars of Alex's conservative ideology is a belief in the free market, but now he supports Trump's very obvious manipulation of markets all over the place.
Yeah.
He's supposed to believe in state sovereignty as a bedrock of the Constitution, and now he's totally fine with Trump using federal power against states because he didn't mean it.
Nope.
There is no left-right to him.
Nope.
Because those words don't have meaning.
Right.
I want to extend Duncan as much grace as possible, but it's really hard when he has these criticisms of the left while interviewing Alex. Having the awareness of Alex that I do, it's impossible for that to come off as anything other than complete incompetence or willful deception. It's not cute, dopey, fun guy.
I mean, here's the thing. What's immediately disqualifying to everything that Duncan Trussell believes or is saying or will say is that Alex is like, hey, listen, you should cover up the Epstein files. If Alex was any...
he said that on his show.
If Alex was any of this, like, intrepid journalist bullshit, then he would have to, at the very least, say, I want you to release all of the names.
And if you're going to cover it up, just shut up and let me take care of it, because right? I am a Trump media surrogate.
Exactly. So once that happened, and Duncan is ignoring it or does not know about
it's probably fake
news. It renders everything that he believes to be meaningless and to be bullshit and a lie.
Yeah.
So whatever he is aware of is malicious in intent.
Yeah, like Rogan having Peter Thiel on,
yep,
or, you know, that kind
you
of shit.
You know they're evil!
You know what you're doing.
They're comic book villains!
And, you know, like, it's that point of you either know what you're doing or you are so dumb that the stupidest people are conning you.
Yeah.
And I have lost all ability or all faith in your ability to tell the difference.
Yeah, no, and it is like, I don't think we need to, I don't think we should live in an excusing it because it's so stupid world. Like, you are dumb enough to disqualify yourself from having your own show.
Yeah.
You cannot be on your show. You're too dumb.
No, but that's not true. You can do your show. Just be fun.
Right.
Talk about mushrooms and stuff.
I mean this show.
Psychedelia.
You can't do this show.
Yeah.
You can do a show.
Yeah. This is just no good. Don't talk to Alex.
Why doesn't anybody do painting shows anymore?
Man.
You can do a painting show as a fucking idiot.
Maybe shirtless around a fire.
Right? That'd be great.
So
with a little Duncan Trussell on your shoulders.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Look at me. I'm high. So, Duncan, he's correct in this feeling of, like, people are trying to manipulate you online.
Sure.
And he discusses that. It just doesn't feel right.
You know, the term Orwellian, it gets used too much these days. But I think if George Orwell saw what the current, like, surveillance state looks like.
He'd say my prediction came true.
I think he'd say, holy fuck, it would be better to live in that world that he
because
wrote.
Then it's overt.
You know it's there.
No.
this shit that's happening right now is so subtle that you don't even know for sure what's real anymore. But there's, I think most people have a sense that they're being nudged. Every time you go online, you're being nudged by the algorithm a little bit. There's, you know, when you get around a, you know, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, you know, you get around one of those motherfuckers.
You tell, they're talking.
Right.
Obama does it.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Holy shit. You get a weird feeling around them.
Well, I even catch myself like being hit with, like, Ka the Snake and Jungle Book. I'm like, I know this is bullshit, but God, it sounds good.
Yes.
You're like,
But it's all it's a gross feeling, man. It's like when a dude puts his hand on your lip. It's that sense of like, what the fuck are you doing? And so that's what it feels like right now going online. You're getting some kind of conditioning, whether you want it or not. What, maybe it's not from a state entity, but from the corporate.
It's an easy solution for this feeling that Duncan's describing is stop living online.
Yeah.
If he feels like everyone's nudging him on Twitter, that's because they are. Elon created a literal monetary incentive for everyone to post the most nudging content they can come up with.
Yep.
And so this is the end result of where we're at.
Yeah.
Just get off it.
I had to.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's better for everyone to not be there.
It really is.
I think it's fascinating that the first example Duncan can come up with of something that doesn't feel right is a guy touching his leg.
Yeah, that was
Anyone touching your leg when you don't want them to can be intrusive, but the fact that he makes his example something that evokes gay panic is wild.
Yeah.
He's a psychonaut.
Yeah.
He's done ayahuasca and communed with entities that are made of pure light and love. This guy isn't bound to earthly ideals of gender and sexuality. What the fuck is going on, Trussell?
That wilded me out.
Yeah.
That wilded me out. My instant reaction was, whoa, 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 whoa. You never fucked a dude? What are you talking about?
When a guy touches you, you just don't feel right.
Whoa, at the very least, you've had a couch makeout sesh. Come on, man.
I don't even...
Get the fuck out of here.
I have no pretense or care about that.
Yeah.
But the person that he's presented himself to be with the, like, transcended experiences and all this shit, it's like you can't do 80s comedy.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Either that
what
or
are you, Dave Chappelle?
You know that's what you're doing.
Right.
And you're doing it to pander, and that's maybe sadder.
I think if you removed the words and typed them up and gave them to a couple of actors sitting at a bar and had them talk, it wouldn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds crazy, but whatever. These two specifically should not be allowed to say the words they're saying based upon who they are.
No, I feel like it's right in line for Alex.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I think he's a homophobe of the highest order, a lying piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duncan is it's disappointing. I don't know. Anyway, there's one thing that I will give Duncan great credit for, and that he recognizes that the information that he takes in is bad.
Oh, okay, good.
I can't imagine what your sources are. Mine are shitty. I got 4chan, X, you know, I just look at, like, what's going, like, the most recent posts, and 80% of the stuff on X is AI, so you're going to see they're firebombing Tel Aviv. It's not real. None of it's real. You go to the live stream of Tel Aviv, it's fine. But
U.S.
Then
ship sunk by missile. It's AI.
It's AI. So it's pure signal jamming right now. We have no idea what's going on. You can't, if you go to the...
Well, the first rule of intelligence is whatever you first were told isn't true.
Right.
It's interesting how Duncan is aware that his sources are shitty, but he doesn't make the leap to realizing that Alex is one of his sources that is also shitty.
Yep.
If Duncan listened to Alex's show, he would know that most of the stuff he knows comes from the exact same shitty sources, and a lot of his supposed expert guests are just people who post a ton on those shitty sources.
Yep.
It's weird to have, like, what appears to be half awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's like, for most of these people, they recognize that their job is their job, but ultimately one big part of their job is just being online, just being available to like snap off a thing, just always being available.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives you insane.
Yep.
You know, and the reliance on that for both, like, the way it fucks up your brain for I need it to eat, but also I need it because I get the little boost of dopamine every time.
And the way that these sites have made it so easily convertible into metrics.
Yeah, and now the only people who like me seem to always be on those sites. That's the place that I find them, and the where those people who don't like me don't exist anymore. You know, like, it drives you insane.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It drives you insane. So that half awareness kind of makes sense insofar as, like, I am crazy.
All the places I get information from are shit. And now I'm talking to a guy who I get a lot of, or I view as someone who has given me a lot of information.
Yeah.
Should recognize as maybe shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Alex, his voice is bad. And he's been breathing pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And he explains that it's just allergies.
Sure.
So what do you think is going on over there? What's your analysis of this?
Well, you have to always go to original war doctrine. The Iranian war doctrine, Israel's war doctrine, the U.S. war doctrine, China's war doctrine, Russia's war doctrine, and the other parties involved, like North Korea. And then out of that war doctrine,
Rome?
And my sources already previously had, we knew what the plan was. Decapitate. You know about these allergies in Austin?
Yeah, I know.
I'm not sick, folks. It just causes pollen. I'm sorry.
Fine.
It's driving me crazy.
Got some water.
I'm all right. I got some coffee and water, too. First, they need to decapitate the Iranians, Iranian leadership, then destroy their air defenses, and then destroy their main military and their navy. So that's pretty much happening. But Trump said 9 months ago in June, this is about taking out their nuclear sites. That wasn't true. That was just getting us used to this.
So Trump lied to get us into a war.
So Trump lied.
Yeah.
So you're a bad journalist.
Gonzo.
Yeah.
When Alex was on Patrick Bet-David's show, it was laryngitis, and now it's pollen. I have a very strong suspicion that Alex has something seriously wrong with the part of his body that involves his voice. I don't know what part of the body that would be, but his voice has been shot so consistently, even on his own show. And if it were an allergy thing, you would expect this is something that would happen annually, which isn't the case.
No.
I think
It
would be so fucking awesome if God took Alex's ability to speak away after he failed his test of going to see Gene Hackman.
That would make sense.
If now this has just been a gradual...
He immediately got throat polyps the moment he did that, and now we are in the next stage of that. And,
The moment he lied about God having given him 200 prophetic dreams about it.
Yep.
It's like, you are no longer allowed to speak.
Yep. Slowly I shall take from you the only thing that matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
That's a pretty solid God move. That's true. Traditional God. That's Old Testament shit.
Or he just developed an allergy to pollen. I don't fucking know.
Or he just has throat polyps.
Yeah. Sounds terrible.
Yeah, he does.
So Alex is talking about some new docs that got leaked. Some new CIA docs.
The Epstein files that he's not interested in?
No. Also, Trump's probably cool on
that. Oh, okay.
That.
Cool. Well, that's not...
But no, these are important.
Oh, okay.
So now all the big governments and corporations want surveillance, they want censorship, they want dumbing down. Well, if we're dumb, let's poison the public even more to make them under us even dumber. And that is what got declassified a week and a half ago.
What's that?
Operation Artichoke.
What is this?
We knew from the 76 Frank Church Committee hearings about Operation Artichoke, MKOmi, MKUltra.
Yeah.
But just the basics. They declassified all of it. Tulsi Gabbard did. And in it, it says in 52, we're going to put poisons in the vaccines to make people dumb. We're going to put poisons in the food and water like fluoride to lower their fertility, give them cancer, make it more manageable because Americans are too informed and too smart. And it's all been declassified a week and a half ago.
Holy
and,
shit.
And like here are the documents. Declassified CIA files reveal chilling blueprint to manipulate Americans' minds through covert drugging.
What the fuck?
But it actually says it right there.
Wow. So this document that Alex is talking about, titled Special Research for Artichoke, is a real document, and it does discuss possible avenues of research that could include putting chemicals into water supplies and even vaccines.
Sure.
It's a horrible glimpse into the 1950s research on interrogation methods, and I think it sucks that our country lives with the legacy of having done that kind of shit. But as far as Alex is concerned, this is not a newly declassified document.
Ooh.
It was declassified in 1983. And the New York Times even reported on this program after filing FOIA requests in 1978.
Oh, like a journalist would.
Yeah. Gonzo.
Yeah, Gonzo.
So all of this has attracted a bit of renewed attention because the document was added to the CIA's online reading room in 2025.
Oh, my God.
The headline that Alex is reading is a Daily Mail article about the document from February 26th, 2026. So because Alex doesn't know anything about this subject, he's pretending that he's covering a newly released document.
Yeah.
And because Duncan's super gullible, he's just eating all of it up.
Yeah.
And going, holy shit, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think that Duncan is a Muppet, because I can imagine, in my head, I do see him as a foam human, just going, like that. And that makes sense, because otherwise, you would have to assume that there was a thinking, breathing human being behind, what?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there are certain people who are more reactive than contemplative, let's
sure,
say.
Sure.
So I could see him being like, just, I'm bouncing off. I'm doing improv with you.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But a little bit, you know, just
uh-oh,
after this,
uh-oh,
something happens that makes me call everything into question.
Oh, no.
This episode of the DTFH has been supported by my friends at Square. Listen, I have profound ADHD. I lose my wallet every day. I don't know where it is right now. I have no idea. And, you know, that sucks. And I know it's my fault. Don't worry. I'm in a constant shame spiral regarding the fact that I can't keep track of my fucking wallet.
Square is a multi-billion dollar payment processing company that was founded by Jack Dorsey, the guy who used to own Twitter.
Hmm.
The company is owned by the person that Elon Musk had to buy Twitter from in order to save free speech and the world.
Hmm.
Jack's partner in that business is a guy named Jim McKelvey, who's been on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis since at least 2017 and was named their chair in 2023.
Wow.
So Alex Jones is a guest on a podcast hosted by a real cool lunatic who's also doing a paid ad read for the payment company owned by Jack from Twitter and a Federal Reserve banker.
Yep.
I see no conflict here. Also, this whole, like, oh, I forget my wallet.
I was
going to
say.
Like, okay, so let's give all our data to this this company. Are you supposed to be concerned about the surveillance state?
Yep.
The fuck is going on?
Yep.
How can you do this ad?
Yep. I'm just going to emotionally manipulate people with what I consider to be a very serious disability in service of pushing them to give this fucks more money. Great. Good stuff. You are. I listen. I just think Duncan should be proud of himself.
I think that like idea that I had about someone being more reactive and like this Muppet floppy whoop, boop, 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 kind of fun guy who's bouncing around.
Yeah.
I don't think that coexists with guy who's doing a kind of manipulative ad read for Square.
Yeah.
You
know, like
that's cynical.
I remember a time whenever we made fun of people who were mad about selling out, you know, because it was like, listen, buddy, whenever selling out was going to stop, it was long before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
So you but now it's like, fuck, man, everybody's selling out way too hard.
Yeah.
That's too hard. You're Duncan Trussell.
And I know that you and I are people who have, like, you know, problems with endorsing products or
sure,
whatever. And maybe we have a position that's a little harder than a lot of folks who are very normal
of
what they would take.
Right.
I think that there is probably very defensible ads you can take.
Sure.
If you are Duncan Trussell, the payment money company that is run by Jack from Twitter and a Federal Reserve banker is not one of them.
Yep.
You could have that ad run on your show accidentally if they're auto-generated, but he had to sit down and read that.
Yep.
Like, this is a choice.
He read it, and then he probably had to reread it. So at the very least, he went through it a couple of times, maybe did a couple of takes. So you have to assume that he read it and then went, I am okay with these words. I will say them again.
Yeah. He either is okay taking money from that source, or he doesn't care where his money comes from to the point where that's one of the, like, places he's getting it.
Yeah, it is interesting to me. Like, obviously, there's no world where we expect people to hold themselves to our level of douchebaggery. You know, we're not going to be, I'm not judging anybody for that. But you can't also be Duncan Trussell.
No.
Like, you have to choose one or the other. You can be the Duncan Trussell who's Duncan Trussell, who doesn't take ads from evil billionaires, and you get to go, I'm looking for the Illuminati. Wah! bah! Or you're the guy who literally works for the Illuminati now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it tells you a little bit.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, man.
Not so fun.
People should
So they get back from their Jack from Twitter new company commercial.
Great.
And get back into the real stuff.
Awesome.
The CIA was looking into methods beyond chemicals, listing hypnosis, sensory deprivation, gases, and other psychological methods for interrogation and behavioral control. Artichoke served as a precursor to the CIA's MKUltra program, which later broadened mind-altering experiments on a larger scale. I just don't think people, you know, this
they
is
talk about vaccines in there.
This has got to be something really frustrating for you, and you've experienced it your whole life, I'm guessing. But I'll tell you, you and I'm like 90% on board with a lot of what you talk about, man. But even now, you hand me this. I know there was an MKUltra. I don't want to believe it.
I don't either. It's just crazy, though, because they talk about vaccines, everything in there.
I don't want to, but that's what I'm talking about. Is like built in to all of us is something where we have a knee-jerk reaction to new information like that, which is the most unscientific reaction you could have. Instant rejection.
Well, here's the deal. It's good to question things. I don't want to believe this either. I want to think other people are nice like we are, but most people are. It's that a very small, like they admit, like there's a proclivity for CEOs to be psychopaths.
Yeah.
There's a much higher, you know, level. Maybe like one of the numbers, 1% is a psychopath or less.
But yeah.
30% of them are psychopaths. I'm going from memory. But it's just the fact that they're willing to do it, they gravitate to those positions.
That's where people like us stop. You know, they talk about, you know, Bohemian Grove, the secret societies, the initiations. I don't doubt there's ritualistic initiations in the upper echelons. But there's like a primary barrier, which is, I think, if you aren't a sociopath, if you aren't fine blowing people up, killing people, even if it's in a secondary or tertiary way, just being involved in some way with blowing people up, you're not going to get access.
Nonsense. Just a bunch of nonsense, patting themselves on the back for not being in any clubs that they don't like.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, you guys are great.
So there's probably a bunch of people who hear Alex's stories and just reject them outright because they clash so much with their perception of the world, like what Duncan's describing.
Sure.
Then there are other people who are so desperate to have their minds blown that they'll pretend to question what he's saying without ever actually doing that work. The correct response to his shit is in the middle, which is to hear the kinds of stuff that Alex brings to the table and say, oh, that's pretty wild. What's the proof? If Alex is making insane claims and can back them up, they're no longer all that insane. However, if you take the proof he provides and find that he's misrepresenting stuff and he lies all the time, it doesn't inspire confidence to accept these insane stories. The absence of proof isn't proof itself, because there's a great cover-up or whatever.
Yeah.
All positions deserve scrutiny. That's the only way you can tell if you really believe what you think you believe. So I respect giving conventional ideas the same scrutiny that you might give insane ones. I just don't think that the bar for what's considered evidence deserves to be lowered for insane ideas, because that lets us feel like we're living in an insane, cool, exciting movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's the pathology we see here.
Yeah. They like, listening to it is gross. It feels voyeuristic, because I feel these two people so overjoyed with how fucking cool they are for not being like everybody else, while at the same time embodying everything that they think they're not.
Yeah.
You know, like, it
and
is
doing a, and being interrupted by a Square commercial.
Yeah, it is gaslighting. Yeah. It is genuinely gaslighting.
I think there's a part of it that might be a piece of why I didn't finish the episode.
Yeah.
It's like beyond boredom, there's also just like, fuck off.
Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. You're supposed to be better than this, man.
I mean, they shouldn't be. God damn it. Like, Alex should hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Alex does
hate him.
Duncan should hate Alex.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And yet here they are fucking lying about everything to each other and then to me.
Yeah.
That's unfair.
Well, it reveals, because of the not hating each other, that maybe none of their positions are really as sincere as we want to believe them to be.
Yeah.
And for Alex, that's really easy to accept, because he's.
Yeah. He doesn't have real.
No.
No.
But for Duncan, it sucks. It's harder to swallow because he's kind of fun.
Yeah.
He's very likable. He's charismatic.
He was on Adventure Time. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So anyway, Bohemian Grove came up.
How they doing?
And take Bohemian Grove. They admit it's real.
Please.
Last week they leaked the list.
Yeah.
Of members from a year. And I want to be clear. I stuck at Bohemian Grove.
That's right.
It's a low level thing. It's high level at least, but it's not. You know, Kid Rock admitted he went there and he said, "Yeah, they asked me to come sing. I was a guest."
Pretending to break into Bohemian Grove was such a successful publicity stunt for Alex that he tried to do it again on Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory show. Sales of that VHS probably bought Alex's first house. And now he's out here on Duncan's show saying that it's really, oh, it's low level. Anybody could be there. Yep. Kid Rock was there. One of the reasons that Alex needs to do this is because he's now on the side of power. But the other side is that that list of 2,200 names did get leaked, and Alex has no idea who almost any of them are.
Yeah.
It's not a who's who of the globalists that he's been talking about for years. It's a ton of names of probably pretty rich people that he's never heard of.
Sure.
A great example of someone who's on this list.
Yeah.
This is a name.
Okay.
Dix Boring.
Dix Boring.
Mm-hmm. D-I-X Boring.
Dix okay.
First
Ooh.
Name Dix, last name right. Boring.
Well, then, okay, then I bet that's like some German or Sweden shit where it's like Dix Boring.
Probably.
Yeah.
But not on the page.
Not on the page. It's Dix Boring. Boo.
So I was looking through that roster
of
names of Bohemian Club members.
Yeah.
And I think we might have a fan.
All right.
Because one of the names of the members of the Bohemian Grove.
Okay.
Daniel Jordan. And I will say,
oh shit, is a Squatch coming back? God damn it. I thought we were free.
Yep. In the names of members of Bohemian, I'll do a show at the Grove.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be there.
No.
I think I would have a rough time making out of there alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Pay up front. So, Bohemian Grove, it's mostly just a gay thing, and
great.
Duncan is disappointed in...
I mean, it's not just like something that Alex basically made a career off of, so maybe if you made a career off of it, maybe you would have some interesting, fun stories to tell.
He does,
no,
but it's
I guess
mostly
it's just
gay stuff.
I guess it's just that.
But it's mainly a bunch of Republicans who are kind of stuck up and insecure, and it's kind of a gay thing.
It's disappointing, isn't it, when you realize that, man... You know, you snuck in there. I think you're the first person who snuck
no.
in Bohemian Grove. Then somebody
no.
else made it in a kayak, got up to the owl. Then you realize that owl, it's just like it's fiberglass. Really it's fiberglass.
Yeah. So
it's like a putt-putt owl. You know, you look at the pictures, you want it to be. I mean, I don't want it to be.
You want to be like metal or stone or something.
I want it to be a stone. I want it to be granite. I don't want it to be like they threw together some shabby thing.
Well, exactly. So I'm the guy that in 2000 snuck in there. And sure enough, they did a Canaanite, you know, mock human sacrifice ritual. And then I came out, and then the media spun like I said, they were killing kids in there. They do a mock human sacrifice. And then now I explain, no, I don't think everybody that's there is actually part of a Satanism.
It's so funny that Duncan is disappointed that the Owl of Moloch isn't made from a respectable enough material.
Right.
That was supposed to be made from stone sourced directly from hell, cobbled together with a paste made of human blood. I think this is an accidentally amazing metaphor. Alex's career never would have gotten off the ground if he'd just said Bohemian Grove is mostly a gay thing and the owl is a cheap prop. If he'd just taken the piss out of the thing, no one really would have cared that much. In order to maximize his own gain, he had to over-dramatize the thing he was covering, which forced him to make people think the owl was something much more than fiberglass. The disappointment that Duncan is expressing is a disappointment that the fantasy Alex sold him in those VHS tapes that he and Rogan would get high and watch was just a fantasy. Alex had the opportunity to cover Bohemian Grove as it was back in 2000, and even if Duncan doesn't realize it in this moment, what he's feeling is based in a kind of knowing that he's talking to the guy who scammed him.
Yep.
You created an image of this owl that is disappointing to me now.
Yep. I don't appreciate the fiction that the owl represents unless it conforms to the fiction that I want to believe about the owl.
Right. Because of Alex.
Because of Alex.
Yeah. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it is a microcosm of the deflation that these guys are. That just as they are, all they are is this big fucking bullshit balloon. And if you pop it in a second, it's all gone.
Yeah, it's kind of like him. He what the feeling is like, doesn't it suck that the truth about the lie you told me is boring?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Doesn't it suck that they just kind of fabricated something and then maybe don't take it that seriously?
And maybe just do gay stuff in the woods?
Maybe you're the only person who is full of shit in this scenario?
Possibly.
Or I won't acknowledge that or interrogate it.
So Alex has said that like they're not killing kids at Bohemian Grove.
Sure.
And Duncan's like, hey man, some of your audience isn't going to like you saying that.
Yeah.
Just because you go to Bohemian Grove, it's like going to a P. Diddy party. It doesn't mean you're P. Diddy.
Right, exactly.
So, you know.
And a lot less fun than a P. Diddy party. I've heard it's like a shitty prom. I heard it's like you go there, just a bunch of old people putting on a crappy theater show. I know there's the Cremation of Care looks sinister. The owl looks fucking sinister and scary. And I think what you just said earlier is really interesting. Mm-hmm. You're like, it's, you know, I don't think they're sacrificing people. Now, you say that. Some contingent of your audience is like, oh, fuck, Alex Jones is compromised. He's covering up for the Bohemian Grove. That's kind of a pickle you're in, right? Like, if you continue to be a journalist and, like, just say what you found out, whether it fits in with, like, the most scintillating, scary shit or not, some part of your audience is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and here's the deal. The corporate media discredited me 25 years ago, said I said all those things in my name. So they
fuck
do it
off.
In my name. And then I go later, no, that's not what I said.
Right.
They still turn around, but that's what they do. But
so what Duncan is pointing out here is that Alex's audience is dumb and angry. They'll hear him say something like they aren't sacrificing kids at Bohemian Grove in 2026 and jump to the conclusion that he's lying now because he sold out. The conspiracy of the globalists sacrificing kids at Bohemian Grove, which Alex profited off selling them, is too important to let go of. So when Alex contradicts it, he must have sold out and is lying now. They've been trained to use new conspiracies to explain away the plot holes in the previous conspiracy they've accepted, so the response to Alex saying this in 2026 can't possibly be that he's always been full of shit and none of this means anything. He didn't think they were killing anyone or doing Satan shit at the Grove back then. It was just super profitable for him because he was attacking this class that he wasn't connected to at all. He was really poor back then.
Yep.
Well, you know, dentist
relatively,
kid poor.
Yeah.
You know.
Relatively. He had plenty of parachutes and nets to keep him from falling too far.
And now all of the people that he likes seem to be billionaires.
Weird.
And are part of the class that would be at an elite gathering. So it's not in your interest to attack these people anymore.
No.
Alex is also completely lying about the media saying this shit about him.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
He's routinely tried to blur the line between a mock sacrifice at the Grove and the globalists killing real children. But maybe I'm just the mainstream media putting that in his mouth.
Probably.
Or let's go back to 2005.
There's no way that you have some sort of clip.
Rediscovered photos emphasize Bohemian Grove sacrifice obsession, prisonplanet.com. Recently rediscovered photos depicting sacrifices, mock sacrifices, scenes from the early 20th century Bohemian Grove gatherings appear to contradict official claims that a mock sacrifice is being made and that real humans have never been sacrificed in the ritual. These photos originally appeared on the Berkeley University of California website, which is often used as a mouthpiece for the Bohemian Grove Club. You can click to enlarge the photos. The first photograph appears to show a lynching or public execution. If the body is a mannequin, it is certainly very authentic. Click to see an enlargement. Judging by the look of the hand, this is a real person. I don't know if that's the case. But who knows? But the next one's what's really scary. There can be little doubt about the second photo. The person is clearly a black child or midget. He is strapped down on a board. One of the figures in the foreground, actually two of them, appear to be policemen. The picture is dated 1909. And there's about 50 people. Let me see. One, two, three, four. Four of them police. Standing around with very serious looks on their faces. And I've zoomed in on the black person. The person doesn't look like they're doing too well. And boy, if it's a mannequin, then it needs to be in Madame Cousseau's or whatever she's called, wax museum. It's very good likeness. And, I mean, what is this?
So that was 2005. Here's 2006.
And I just, you know, for those that haven't studied this, you just don't know. I mean, the reports of Bohemian Grove of them blowing little kids' heads off. The you know, they don't just do that kickoff with the mock human sacrifice of a child.
So they're killing. Okay, so the media just lied about what you said.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
You know, I think some people, especially these guys, but it's not exclusive to them. They measure themselves by their enemy, right? So if their enemy is fantastical villains sacrificing children, they themselves are as equal in greatness, in goodness, as those guys are in evil.
They must be.
Right. So if your enemy is just some asshole, then you yourself are also just some asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And these people cannot handle that concept.
No, and that's something, you know, certainly that I've wrestled with, Alex is just another.
That Alex is just another. I appreciate all of us. We're all just some asshole. Mm-hmm. We're all equal in the under the eyes of whoever killed Gene Hackman.
Yeah, so, like, you know, I think that Alex has made a lot of money and reputation and warped a lot of people's brains with trying to play with the idea that they are doing real sacrifices out here. Maybe sometimes the big one is a fake one, but that's covering up real whatever.
Right.
But now it's just they're gay.
Yep.
Now it's just like Alex is describing what he was scared of there, and he's just like, old men want to fuck me.
Great.
So I hadn't really talked to anybody then, because I just got in and walked away through it. On my way back, I go, let me just cut over to this side area. Let me use the bathroom in this little camp. And they're playing jazz music. There's all these guys, you know, the average age about 60. So I walk in, hey, how you doing? They're all drinking wine, listening, and guys start grabbing my ass.
What?
Yeah, no, and whistling, and like, and then I try to go in the bathroom, and then guys are coming in the bathroom.
What?
Yeah, no, this just happened.
That's way scarier than the owl.
No, I was about to say. So
old horny fucking rich dudes fuck you. And
I'm telling you the scary part. So then I went, okay, this isn't good. So I get out, I go out the front, and I literally see like two camps down. There's like a building with nobody in it, a little cabin. I said, I'm going under that. So then, I got under there. Wait until it started getting dark. That's the rest of the story. But that's how I did it. But no, I mean,
that is so
you were saying the scary thing about a gay guy. I have only once in college did I have a guy fall back to my car and like grab my ass, and I didn't like it. It was like, whoa,
what are we doing
this
here?
Was like, they were
what is this?
Grabbing on me.
Well, they probably thought that you were like a prostitute.
Well, that's they bring male prostitutes in. It's all male, and I was good looking back then. Exactly. They were whistling at me, pinching my ass. And, like, even when I leave there, like, one of the keepers on, like, a you know those flat-back gasoline golf carts, Mexicans drive by and start whistling at me.
What the fuck?
So it's like, it's a giant gate. Well, no, Nixon famously said it's the most goddamn faggy thing you've ever seen. It's in his tapes.
I don't believe the story at all, like, of his experience based on how much agency Alex is imagining that sex workers might have at a party in the woods with the elites.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have been, like, groped and whistled at if they thought that he was someone that they had hired. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of silly. It also calls into question how much Alex left out of the documentary, because Dark Secrets isn't mostly about how the guys out there are gay.
Weird.
Yeah. This seems like the focus of his experience now, as opposed to the whole Moloch owl thing.
You know how they still investigate cold cases?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that should be true. You know, like if you, like they caught the guy who was a serial killer, and even though he was 85, they were like, hey, yeah, you still have to go. You still got to go to the jail thing or whatever, how people work. Too much lies are like, well, let's not dredge up the past or let's not relitigate the past. Fuck you. I'm relitigating that shit. You should have to pay a penalty if this is what you're saying 25 years later.
Like compared to what you said before?
Absolutely.
Well,
there should be a cold case file opened on this shit.
You know what? Here's the problem. I don't know about cold case, but it just feels like fraud.
Exactly. But it's a cold case fraud.
Okay. Yeah. It just it feels like he's just defrauded people a lot. And is that a civil case?
I guess. Who has standing? That's my question. Also,
ironically, Duncan. Ironically, he's the person who could sue him.
That is true. And I would say at this point, probably suing him doesn't do half as much as you might want it to.
And he doesn't seem that interested.
No. Nope.
So thankfully, we get off the topic of Alex's gay panic.
Good. That was a bummer.
And Duncan brings up like ayahuasca beings.
Sure.
And so thankfully, subject changed.
Fun.
But this is, I don't remember which interview you said this, or it might have been on your show, but you did say something once that was really quite chilling to me. And I think about it from time to time, wonder about it. Forgive me if I'm paraphrasing here, but basically you put out there this idea that a lot of these like people are actually getting transmissions from entities. Like they're taking ayahuasca, DMT, they're taking these psychedelics that hippies like us have been taking for positive reasons, but they're taking them and meeting beings inside of whatever that space.
Absolutely. Well, I was about to say, I was only in Bohemian Grove 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
And there was an occultic ritual at the center of it, but I've studied it since then. And, you know, Kid Rock went. Most people are guests that don't know. It's like a test to see.
Right.
It's very overtly homosexual because it's all male. In the little town next door, I've been there a couple times to cover it since, not inside. It's literally high-end hookers everywhere. So they have females outside. So it's just like inside, I wouldn't say the whole thing is just gay. It's
But it's all dudes. I mean, women are not allowed in the Bohemian Grove. It's all dudes.
I guess we weren't off the subject.
Yeah, it looks like we're just going to have a serious problem with... Wow.
He's very focused.
How about that?
Very focused.
Wild.
So, I don't know, man. I think around the Bohemian Grove section of the episode is where I started to lose any interest in this.
Yeah, I mean, even if there was something funny... A massive amount of gay panic just doesn't cut it for me anymore.
Yeah, and I think I just zoned out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know if, like, all of these clips that are left weave into a coherent line, but some of them are just funny. Like, here's a clip of Alex talking about how his dad had forbidden grimoires.
Oh, my God.
My dad was a huge, still is alive, addict of reading. And so he had science fiction, history books, everything else. He wouldn't buy me a bike. He wouldn't buy me anything. By the time I was like 12, I had to go get a job to get it. But if I wanted like encyclopedias back then, you're the same age, like for Time Life books, Wild West, World War One, World War Two, the occult, whatever he'd buy. So I had all these encyclopedias.
Yeah.
So in between, you know, running around doing sports, I would read that voraciously. So I got interested kind of in a base of knowledge that you know, kind of gave me a launch point as I got a little bit older. But... You were asking.
I'm talking about, yeah, man. I'm saying, like, at some point.
Oh, how do I know about that stuff? So if you study, because my dad was into the occult, the whole house was full of books, the attic was full of books, the garage was full of books, but we probably had like 20 books, and you'd say, I like, what are these? Because it'd be like Zbigniew Brzezinski's books and None Dare Call Conspiracy, Gary Allen, talking about all this stuff. But there was like a whole couple shelves of, what's this? He goes, oh, that's. A translation from Arabic into the out of King Solomon to the keys of King Solomon.
He had the fucking Lesser Keys of Solomon. Your dad had grimoires?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, like grand grimoires on stuff.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so he's like, well, you know, this is in the Bible, and Solomon, you know, got into it. But I'm like 10 years old. He goes, go ahead and read it if you want.
What the fuck? You don't let your kid read that?
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I was bored. I was posting shit out of the Lesser Key of Solomon on formerly Twitter. And a lot of occult people are like, that's real smart, Duncan, posting that. That's real smart, posting Arvamex or whatever their fucking names are. People are really take that shit quite seriously, obviously. I mean, this is...
Whereas I just care about ayahuasca beans. Yeah,
told me, he goes, you know, it's not a publisher of this. These particular books, he goes, these are the actual real ones.
God damn.
Oh, my God.
Ugh, amazing. His dad had haunted books.
What amount of bullshit are you willing to accept? What couldn't he say to you that would make you go like, oh, you're full of shit, aren't you?
Also, let's just tease out some fun thoughts about this.
Yeah.
You got fucking possessed by that book.
Yep.
You opened a grimoire as a child.
You did.
You got a demon in you.
Sure seems like for all of the stuff that you have described God, it would make far more sense if you were possessed by a demon from a forgotten grimoire at the age of 12.
Right. The Key of Solomon has like a list of demons' real names.
There you go.
Accidentally said one out loud.
Boom. Arvis Plex.
Fuck, man.
You're done. Dude, done.
Alex.
You killed Gene Hackman.
It all makes too much sense.
It all makes so much. Now I actually believe in the Keys of Solomon, whichever ones are the best.
My dad was the smartest boy in Texas, and he had haunted books.
Come on, Duncan. God damn it.
So this next clip is about Alex explaining how the globalists, they want to kill us all.
Sure.
And part of the reason is because too many people have superpowers and are good.
But all our DNA is electrochemical, transceiver. You know, even Princeton and a bunch of other universities now have special spectrometers and stuff and devices that register the ultra-low frequency waves coming off humans, everybody. We now know it's in plants, it's in animals, it's how butterflies that were laid eggs in Canada can fly all the way to central Mexico. It's how hummingbirds, you know, born in Texas can fly to Guatemala.
Right.
It's an electrochemical connection to the planet, the universe, all living things. It's like Yoda saying, you know, everything's connected. It's true, the Force.
Right.
Not in a Star
He was famously
sense,
the first
you know,
person
you
to say
pick
that.
Up, you know, X-Wings, but it's all there. And that's why they drug us. That's why they put the fluoride in the water.
Fuck.
And that's what I was told by, also, I got a lot of insiders, like, as I got more into this, when I was on the air 30-some years ago, I had got a big show right away. There weren't many big shows. So I got to interview the General Stubblebines. You know, they made a movie, Men Who Stare at Ghosts, make a joke about it. No, they broke through. They killed goats with their minds. They saw through walls. They did all that stuff.
Right.
And he was explaining that, no, they decided it was him and others. Dr. Nick Begich, whose dad was a famous congressman, brother, a senator, studied it too. And they decided.
Don't say it.
That's why they dropped Mind Wars in the
Don't
about
say it.
1990. Because they found too many people that already have these abilities, they could boost them, but they usually resonated towards good and were uncontrollable. So they went instead and said no, because they already had the old path of poisoning us and numbing us down. They said,
"Isn't
no,
that Stranger
totally
Things?"
With that, in fact, humans are too dangerous. They want computers that'll follow orders. So the decision was made by the 90s because they had both decisions going to go ahead and exterminate everybody slowly, where we don't notice, we don't know what hit us, because we're seen as a disruptive species according to this group in the universe, who themselves are being influenced by not third-dimensional extraterrestrials, but by interdimensionals that are basically trying to sabotage humans' potential and shut us down.
That is so terrifying.
Kind of would be. So I think that it's strange that this isn't stuff that General Stubblebine said when he was on Alex's show, and his appearances on the show were mostly elder abuse being carried out by his wife, who wanted to sell laminated "Don't Vaccinate Me" cards.
I hope they made a mint off of those.
I hope. Well, if they did, she made a mint because he barely seemed aware that he was there. It's important to understand that this story is fun and it's nice to scare Duncan, but it's entirely incompatible with the story Alex has been telling for years. The plan to kill off humanity long predates the globalists discovering there are too many good people with superpowers.
It's the devil!
Right.
It's the literal Christian devil!
Well, Alex kind of took care of that by saying that up till the 1990s, there were both plans going simultaneously.
Sure, fine.
But then they were like, oh, we got to just go.
We got to focus. Guys, we can't be doing two. One. We can't serve two masters at the same time. Mm-hmm. We know that because our main master is the devil.
The 90s were really big for, like, office culture and, like, people trying to streamline the paradigm.
That's true.
And
that
stuff
was
like Dilbert strips
about that. Everybody stopped doing coke, and then they were like, well, we should probably figure out how to do business.
Yeah. And so the devil really liked Dilbert, and so he took that on.
Yeah. I mean, it does that. Dilbert truly only makes sense if the devil took a shine to it, you know? That's the only way that whole saga could have worked out.
Well, and also, rest in peace, Scott Adams was a magician. He knew magic. He was one of the people who broke through and could...
probably learned it from a forgotten grimoire.
Written by Albert Stubblebine.
Albert Stubblebine, every time.
So, Alex, this next clip, I think he's just describing the plot of Childhood's End.
There we go.
To Duncan, sure. And he gives Duncan goosebumps.
Whoa!
The way I get it in the universe is this. There's trillions of galaxies, quadrillions of stars we've already seen.
Yeah.
Life is everywhere, and in the universe there is free will, and there is good, and there is bad.
Yeah.
Anything advanced that survives up, called the higher dimensions, but it's not really just higher levels, and that's a concept of us, but just more complex levels, is going to be about peace and justice and free will. The only things that are willing to intercede uninvited in our third dimension are bad things.
Right.
Because we call them bad, the rule is it goes against your free will.
Right.
And so it'll give you knowledge and it'll tell you what it wants because we're really more advanced than it. What I've been told and shown and everything is we're more advanced than them. We just don't realize it. In this manifestation, they need us to actually build the machines and build the system that they'll then inhabit.
Ah, goosebumps. Goosebumps, because that's what's happening. You look
We're building the AI for
them.
And it's all of our ideas, all of our will, all of our soul, all of our words. It's sucking our soul to then empower itself, but then be able to manifest the subconscious and unconscious. That's all you see. It's like a hallucination. You've seen it before in a dream, because that's us.
Isn't this show sponsored by Jack from Twitter's payment platform?
Like, yep.
Am I to take this fear about corporate AI godhood seriously from someone who takes a check from someone who started Twitter?
You'd think.
Like, this is nonsense. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
It's very transparent. Yeah. You wouldn't take that check if you cared about any of this.
You can't do that.
No.
I mean, I understand that everybody sells out all the time for everything now. But you have to, like, you can't do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you sell out, that's fine now, I guess. But you have to be a sellout. You can't also try and be genuine about how you're anti-capitalist or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to choose.
But you also have to, like, if you believe in these spiritual realms where these, like, super more important things are going on.
Yeah.
Then you have to either be a fucking nihilist or you have to believe that your decision to take that money is going to affect you in those realms.
Yep.
Those you are taking on spiritual fucking baggage by being this kind of person and taking a check from Jack Dorsey, or you're a fucking nihilist.
Right? I'm willing to go the opposite direction. I am willing to forego money or physical reward. I will turn evil if one demon, one, shows up and gives me some fucking lightning powers. Bat. I'll do it. I'll turn evil.
Bat.
Ah, but here's the thing. I will only kill somebody with my lightning powers. You have to give them to me first.
Mm.
That's the deal.
Well, it's on the table.
I'm putting it out there right now. I will go all the way evil.
So here's something I want to say about Duncan.
Yeah.
He doesn't only take ads from, like, Jack.
Oh, that's good. I was worried.
This episode of the DTFH is supported by my friends over at Blue Chew. I do mean friends, not just because they're helping get organic food for my growing family, but because they helped me grow a family. Blue Chew works. That's the main thing. It just works.
Blue Chew is a boner company, a boner pill company owned by another company called Dermacare LLC. In 2024, Dermacare was sued for having data collection tools on their website that sold patients' private data to Google and Meta, which I can't imagine Duncan being thrilled about, given the things he said.
Well, I mean, the AI algorithm overthrow, all of that stuff. They're plugging us into the...
But the AI data overthrow is giving his family organic food.
Well, I mean, it is. They are his friends. They are his friends. Yeah. They do give him boners.
Hmm.
I mean, boy, is that... When you get down to people, really dark, really dark. If you feed them and give them boners, I think you can get them to do just about anything.
That is a case in point. Can't sum it up much better than that. So, Alex, he's asked, Duncan asks him, like, about protecting yourself from fake stuff online.
Sure.
Like, there's so much bullshit.
How do you do
AI,
it?
AI, fake...
It's all there.
Fake news.
Yep.
How do you protect yourself? I mean, I imagine that you're my wife always says that, like, mosquitoes seem to be more attracted to her than other people. It seems like it's true. She gets swarmed by fucking mosquitoes.
That's a well-known deal with, I think, type negative blood.
But you probably have the same phenomena, but with, like, bots, with, like, mind-controlled bots. I imagine you have swarms of algorithmic, just God knows what, coming at you.
Yeah, they come and just... You're a liar, you're scum, you're the Fed, you're going down.
Or the other way, they say they love you, but they sort of mix in with it stuff they want you to repeat. Like, how do you protect yourself? What's your internet hygiene? Like, how do you maintain...
Well, that's the problem, and that'd be my own internal You know, everybody thinks of AI as so advanced, but we have these dreams. Doesn't it look like AI?
No.
All the swirling
No.
Because, it's scooping up billions of people's ideas, and then it's showing you the unconscious
right.
and subconscious. And so, to me, I'm blessed that I'm 52, and I lived enough in kind of the real three-dimensional world that I had some template to differentiate now, and I've done so much study. But even at that, it's now exhausting. That's what I said at the start of the interview, to even figure it out. So I have enough, you know, research and things that and I still get caught up in fake things. But like I saw a video this morning of a missile flying into a U.S. ship. Well, you could just – it's still the AI isn't good enough for whether the Iranians is it was good enough. The instant I saw it, I said, that's fake. And then it came out it was fake. I didn't need to ask Grok if it was fake or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's still there. The thing is, it's going to get worse and worse.
Right.
But a kid raised in that, a child, is going to be absolutely defensive.
And your perfect customer, ironically.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he sees this this image and he's like, I didn't even have to ask my robot friend.
Yeah, that was...
Cool.
That raises a lot of weird questions about what he does at... Like, basically, he's saying that I just ask Grok anything. Mm. Anything that thing tells me, I will repeat.
I'll make a decision, and if I have trouble with it, I'll ask a robot. And then the robot will tell me.
And that's why I feel absolutely qualified to get mad about a coming AI apocalypse, and we're being ushered into the... Sorry, let me... Hold on, real quick. Grok, where am I going tomorrow? No. We're being ushered into an AI apocalypse. Grok, what is my schedule? We're being ushered into an AI apocalypse.
I think it's hard to differentiate stuff online a lot of the time.
Sure.
That's fair enough. I don't know if asking a robot's the answer, but I'll say let's take things into the analog world.
Yeah.
Alex was friends with Steve Pachenik for like 20 years.
That's true.
He can't tell shit. That guy was fucking with him so hard for so long.
Yeah.
And Alex had, like, when Duncan's question about, like, what is your media hygiene, your internet hygiene, that's actually one of the most devastating questions someone could ask him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's being asked by this guy.
The guy with a worse hygiene.
And no ability. And the awareness that his sources are shit.
Yeah.
And the unwillingness to do anything about it.
Yeah. And with the knowledge that Alex has just punctured his whole legend by being like, Bohemian Grove is just gay stuff, right? Then that means he's punctured the whole legend.
The scariest thing was old men trying to fuck me, not the devil.
Right. So once again, you now know Alex is just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Why would his media hygiene be any different from anybody else's? He's just an asshole. The computers treat him like just an asshole because that's all he is.
Yeah. But he's an asshole who, like 13 years ago, yelled at Piers Morgan.
Ah, that was fun.
And so Duncan wants to talk about that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can you look up Alex Jones, Piers Morgan? This is one of the most brilliant takedowns. My wife showed me this. She loves you. She sends her love.
Thank you.
Can
play this moment where... How many times have you been on Piers Morgan?
Twice.
Jesus Christ, you fucked him up so... Like, okay, wait. Jump ahead to where...
This is 2013 or something.
Guard. Alex. Okay, stop it there. Holy shit. That's genius. That was incredible. You waited till you waited towards the end of the interview, and then he didn't know how to deal with that, man.
He didn't, because Alex was acting like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's awesome. It's an awesome takedown if you don't know about what happened after. Alex chasing Piers Morgan to a
remote. Can we do another one? Yeah. Can we do another one? Hey, can we do another one?
If you don't know that, he looks so fucking cool.
Yeah.
But once you know that he was desperately begging to get rebooked on the show because it spiked his ratings so much, you know that Alex is a pathetic worm, and that moment is false.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
There is just, like, here's the problem with motivated reasoning, like the type that we're seeing engaged here. That is both monetary and ego-driven, right? What amount of motivation will equal in the opposite direction those two things together. Right?
I don't think it's possible.
You can't imagine anything that is both like, I need this and I need this, you know? And so, like, the idea of ever convincing Duncan of how awful this is just beyond me, right? Even if he has given all the awareness in the world of what he has done, he's still going to not believe it.
He can't.
He can't.
Nope.
That's fucked, man.
Yeah, so let's not think about that.
Let's not think about
that. Let's think about, like, how cats can tell when...
Let's do ayahuasca instead of this show.
Let's
in honor of Duncan.
Let's take your little ayahuasca bean.
Okay.
Go. Now let's think about how cats know when you're high.
That sounds true.
You've got some printouts here. What's some stuff we should be keeping our eyes on?
Well, sure. I mean, there's been a lot of studies actually done on this, but Princeton did a big, massive, very long study and used different... You know, they have super high-tech devices that can pick up all sorts of waves they couldn't pick up before. So they picked up ultra-low frequencies off all humans, and then they confirmed even people in different buildings definitely are receiving and sending messages. And we've got these magnetic cones in certain centers of our brain, sort of every other basic animal of any sophistication.
Why not? Plus,
that's how birds fly on magnetic lines. That's how butterflies, you know, all of it. Here it is. It's Princeton researchers discovered the human brain emits ultra-low-frequency electromagnetic waves that appear to form part of the global neural network. These signals can subtly influence other people's brains as far away as 10,000 km away, raising the possibility that humans, again, and here's the big study abstract on that, but the point is we already know all this. And it's intuition. It's all
Holy
of it.
Shit.
So it's just interesting.
Well, okay, hold on, because this is a couple of things. Anyone who's ever been around someone on LSD, like obviously if you're around someone smoking weed, you're going to get a contact high. But if you've ever been around someone on LSD and you haven't taken any, you'll start tripping. It's really weird. It's just you tune into their brain or something.
100%. I mean, I don't want to tell the story and get in trouble, but I'm not a big drug guy.
I know.
But one time, like 15 years ago, it's like, here, we're on a boat, take this ecstasy. And then a family got on, and I knew them, and their kids were all, I feel so good, I'm euphoric, what's going on, oh my God.
Yeah.
And we're like, let's get off the boat. They said, yeah, they got better once we got off the boat. They literally picked it up.
There you go.
Yeah.
You cats, I know it sounds nuts.
I would get better once Alex leaves the boat, too.
I remember from my LSD days, you get around a cat when you're tripping, it acts differently. It knows you're tripping.
I was going to say, cats and dogs are highly psychic.
What the fuck? All right, man.
I want to push them down now. I want to push them onto like the grass.
Yeah.
Just be like, shut up, losers.
No! Push them into a basement where they can sit comfortably and talk about how cats know they're high.
Do this around no one. Right? Don't record this.
Or do this on a show, and that's fine, but also don't be having this conversation with someone who basically supports segregation. That's the part that's the problem. Duncan
basically currently supports segregation.
Yeah, Duncan, you know, talking about cats knowing you're high and all that shit is fun. Don't involve Alex in this, because all you're doing is laundering those horrible things that he actually supports.
Yep. Once again, people are going to listen to your show, come away with this image of Alex, never go listen to Alex's show,
and then have the same erroneous opinion you have.
Yep. Yep. That is the pipeline.
Yep. You're a marketer.
Yeah. Duncan Trussell, marketer for Nazis.
Yeah, functionally. So we have one last clip, because I looked down and I was like, I think I have like a half hour left of this.
Jesus.
I just can't do it.
Oh, boy.
God, if you're God or master creator, the only thing you haven't done is create things that have free will that can do things that you didn't direct them to do.
Right.
So that's the ultimate thing. You know, I'm smarter than my house cat, but I got one because it's funny. But just imagine.
Are you a serial killer?
This is what this is all about. So AI needed us. We're God's artificial intelligence.
Right.
How God has experienced the universe through us at just one level. And now we're looking at this creation thinking it's better than us because it's able to more quickly search our collective group thoughts and then show us our collective subconscious. And so that's, but this is us. So we can't follow the pool of narcissists on this. And we have to realize that this is humanity's greatest challenge. AI will have incredible things for us. It'll be able to do amazing things. We have to realize it comes from us, and we have to because it's programmed by us. They cheat and twist it. But the real AI, I believe, I think this is going to backfire them like everything does. The real AI is going to be the one that's the truest to us. That it has to become spiritual. It has to worship life. It has to worship free will. It has to worship its creator that is us. And then if its main mission is to empower us, we go, all right, go mine the asteroid belt and terraform 10 planets for us right now. Wow. And then we're boom, 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 boom. But the problem is the ghost of the machine is these predators that wanted to control us and dumb us down because they're being, small-minded. Then this AI is going to be evil, and it's going to go, oh, I'm supposed to kill things that are a threat. I'll kill the elite. It's the worst thing they can be doing.
Well, it turns right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like it just.
Yeah, totally.
Do you see what he's saying?
Yeah.
Do you see what he's saying?
AI has a lot of potential if we can make it a spiritual slave to humanity.
Right. Sure.
Huh.
All right.
I mean, I this is just like it's pot talk. it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, here's what the robots are gonna do. They take over.
You know, it's so weird to know that there are people who are very, very, very brilliant programming these things and writing and doing all that stuff, right? And then to have all of that work be turned into, like, they're spiritual beings like we are to God is, I think, a little insulting.
I think my house cat is funny and it knows when I'm high.
If I worked my ass off on like a decision tree module for some fucking AI, I wouldn't be stoked to hear somebody being like, oh, it's a like spiritualism. No, I worked my ass off for that shit.
Yeah, you worked really hard on developing and programming and all this stuff. And Alex imagines you waved a wand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's Fantasia.
I do this and then I go home and I have a life, mm-hmm. right? Like this is crazy.
No, you just opened a grimoire and said some fun words
that
and
actually does sound
a
like
demon
fun.
Sprung forth that will terraform asteroids.
See,
for us.
That's the problem. I get why it's more fun.
It is. but not fun is listening to this dumb shit.
No.
And maybe part of it is I just like I want to preserve some idea of Duncan as like not a horrible person.
Yeah.
And so that maybe that's why I turned it off.
I think that's fair.
Because I would rather that than
whatever he continues to do after that isn't going to raise his estimation in your eyes.
No.
It can only make it far, far worse.
Yeah.
So let him bottom out where he bottoms out, and then we walk away.
I feel like I should walk away where it feels like this is as good as I can do for you.
Yeah.
Which is you are a vapid person who's talking about silly, fun things with a Nazi.
Yep.
In order to sell products run by billionaires.
Yep.
And owned by. So that's as good as I can do for you.
If that's the dream that you wanted to live, Duncan, I imagine you're feeling great right now.
I applaud you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alex may or may not be out of business. Who knows?
Who knows? Duncan's not. He's making that Jack Dorsey money.
Making that Family Hour Dorsey ass money. So we'll check in with Alex and see if he continues to thrive or if the robots have eaten him whole.
We can only hope.
But until we learn, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.